Hello, I'm Katie.
And I'm Leslie.
And we're all booked. Welcome back to Sterling Municipal Library's podcast, where we talk to you about books we would like to recommend. And this week, Katie's back.
And we are interviewing Sam. He's actually back for a repeat performance. And this time he's going to talk about a book called A Head Full of Ghosts. It's a favorite among a lot of our librarians, and he actually listened to it on a recent road trip.
It was a good story. It was a story about a family called the Barretts. Their elder daughter starts showing signs of schizophrenia. And it's told through the viewpoints of Meredith, the younger sister, 8 years old. Her when she's older, when they're writing a book about her, so she's in her mid to late 20s, and also through a blogger. So you get three different points of views, which is nice. And the story is that, you know, the sister has schizophrenia and they start doing a reality show about the family. So this spectacle happened live on TV. Something I failed to mention is that the father believes that the daughter's possessed, so that's how they end up with a reality show. So a lot of it is she goes back and watches the show repeatedly. It talks about her old life, and she doesn't know if her memories are exactly as she remembers or things that the show influenced. So it's kind of interesting to see how, you know, having this two different points of views on her life has caused conflicts with her.
Were there elements of this that were at all horror?
To me, it's the best of horror when you start realizing that the worst people are the normal people that you approach in life, like the protesters, because once they start getting it, you have all the religious protesters. And I mean, within the house itself, like the father getting more and more zealous and unnerved as he gets more and more into it and really wants this to happen. Like he gets to the point where he wants it to be a possession, and you know, because it makes him feel important, and it kind of gives him something to hold on to. And you're also dealing with a 14-year-old girl that is showing like severe schizophrenia, so that gets downright frightening, especially from the viewpoint of an 8-year-old.
Yeah. Did they ever have any medical profession step in and say, hey, I think this is what's actually going on?
They did it first, and then when it turned, you know, then when the money got involved from the reality show, the dad especially was just like, yes, possession all the way, let's do this, and kind of blocked her from seeing mental health.
Wow. Oh my gosh.
It's from this perspective of the 8-year-old, and the 14-year-old is her older sister?
Right.
Okay. Does the 8-year-old think it's a possession, or is she just, like, terrified of everything?
She doesn't really believe it, because the sister and her have kind of a... There's kind of a behind-the-scenes thing where the sister tells her various things to kind of let her know. So she would tell her stuff like, you know, oh, I'm faking and it's not anything. You know, I'm actually not sick at all. I'm just doing this to help the family, you know.
Oh.
She starts kind of pulling her into the delusions too. So, and being an 8-year-old, she kind of goes along with all like, oh, okay. But then she doesn't want to tell her parents to get her sister in trouble. She keeps her mouth shut. And that's kind of the overall narrative, is her being an 8-year-old and kind of navigating everyone manipulating her, from the producers of the show to her parents to her sister. So, you know, she has three different people kind of manipulating her. No 8-year-olds can just slam their hand on the table like, listen, everybody.
Well, I've read about schizophrenia, and I don't think.
It's like, I'm 8, whatever. Yeah. Whoever I need to please at this moment, yeah, it's great.
Yeah. Okay, so what kind of person would you recommend this book for?
If you like reading, you should like it. It's a little something for everybody. If you're into witty, the chapters where it's the blogger talking about it are really funny and interesting. It's like a little something for everybody. That's like your teenagers could be like, oh, that's funny. I always looked forward to those chapters, because it's a good break from when the story gets depressing or gets too much.
Yeah.
You have someone making, you know, smart remarks about the show, and it's kind of in the aftermath, breaking down each episode and why it's as weird as it is and stuff that happened, and pointing out inconsistencies with the story. So that way you don't have people after, there's a plot hole here. You know, it's like, well, you have a blogger kind of tearing the story apart from the TV show.
That's such a cool narrative tool.
Now, did you listen to it with other people in the car?
Yeah. My wife was there, but she slept most of the time.
Oh.
She would just wake up and be like, where are we?
It was a good book. We pulled up in our, you know, one of our destinations with 10 minutes left in the book and was like, you know, no.
We can't get out yet.
We sit here in the driveway for 10 minutes.
Hey, that's a really good book after a road trip like that.
Yeah.
The only thing was, the person who read the book was funny in the way that she would do voices, and all the male voices were real nasally, and you know, like, oh, I specifically told you should do this.
Like, definitely a woman trying really hard to, like, fake deepen her voice so she can be a man.
Kind of like she just pinched her nose and did, like, "Well, friends, let me tell you." it was really funny. That was only, yeah. Those were parts where I was like, huh. It took me a few chapters to get over it. Anytime the dad spoke, it was like, oh, man.
Okay, so we're going to go ahead and get to the delightful game show portion of the episode, which means I'm going to put in some spooky horror music here. Keeping that in. Okay, so our first section of the game show portion is...
I don't remember casting. It's been so long. Casting... Oh my gosh, you weren't on vacation that long.
Casting the main characters. So, if this were to become a movie, who would you cast in the roles of the main characters?
Well, I actually just did a pretty good extensive search on this, so it was probably creepy.
You can tell he works in a library.
It was probably creepy for, you know, a 39-year-old man to be looking up young actresses with brown hair. But they mentioned that thing. So for Marjorie, I went with Millie Bobby Brown from Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And she's already in the genre.
And she's kind of could do the whole nutty schizophrenic thing. For Meredith or Mary, I went with Brooklyn Prince, who I have no idea. She's in some kid movies. And then as the adult version, I went with Anna Kendrick. For John, I went for his dramatic debut, Zach Galifianakis. I've seen him. I think he could pull off
in his dramatic crazy, like, debut, though.
The dad who's like, yeah, you know, he mostly does comedies, but it's always, if you see a stand-up, it gets dark and he does weird stuff. So I think he could pull off the dad well. Sarah, it was hard because I think that she fits what the daughters look like. I don't know if she'd marry Zach Galifianakis at any point, but, you know, it's in Boston. Who knows? It gets colder in the winter. Jennifer Love Hewitt.
Okay.
I thought she would kind of look like she could be a mother of them. So for Ken, the ultra cool soccer ball kicking producer, writer of the show, I went with Ben Affleck because I could see little Mary thinking he was pretty great. And he's from Boston, so he could do the accent without one. He just talk normal. And for Barry, the young TV executive scumbag, I went with TJ Miller. Because while he's funny, that is a greasy seeming dude. So, and then for Rachel Neville, who is the, you know, her late 50s writer with exquisite gray hair, as the book says. Go back to the well with Diane Lane.
Your fallback, right? Lady with exquisite hair. Okay. So we're going to move on now to our five questions. We're going to start with Leslie.
Were there any parts in the book that surprised you?
Yeah. There's definitely a twist at the end that I didn't see coming.
So why did you choose this book of all the books?
I didn't choose this book. Kim chose this book, my wife.
And then she fell asleep.
She just seemed like, this seems like something you'd be into because you like a lot of horror and suspense books. And I was like, sure, yeah.
Sure.
What kind of food should you eat with this book?
You should drink juice boxes and eat like peanut butter crackers.
Oh, gosh. But only in little baggies.
Or no, I take that back. You should eat spaghetti with this.
Oh, dear.
But only with cheese and butter. You'll get it when you read it.
Which character would you want to know in real life?
Oh, probably Meredith when she gets older. She seems funny.
Anna Kendrick Meredith.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She just seems like a funny person who was really messed up. And, you know, some of the best people are damaged, so.
I know it doesn't sound like there were real hauntings in the book, but if you could be haunted by any ghost, who would you pick?
Whatever ghost pulled the most energy out of the air, made my house the coolest. You know what? If there was a ghost, I'd hang out with George Carlin. I like him. He'd be funny. He'd be kind of a jerk sometimes, but whatever. You know.
As long as he kept things interesting.
Okay, so we're going to get to our last section. We're going to have you roll these die, and then you're going to read the line that comes up from the book.
Sorry, to go back to the last question for a second. Harold Ramis would be a good one since he was a Ghostbuster.
That's a little meta.
But, all right, here we go.
Okay.
We got 3 and 1.
So it's going to be page 3, line 1.
This must be so difficult for you, Meredith.
It's a good line. Tells us a lot.
That was the opening line of the book. It was worked out perfect.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
And stay tuned for more exciting book recommendations from library staff next week.
Au revoir.